The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Oh, hi, Bob here to tell you about the best soap in the universe. It's time for this week's Bubble Genius Showcase Item of the Week. February is Think Spring Month at BubbleGenius.com. Mardi Gras is right around the corner, so go to BubbleGenius.com for their Fay Dodo Fleur-de-Lis Soap on a Rope. It's a fleur-de-lis-shaped soap in a burnished gold color attached to purple beaded Mardi Gras rope. Only $7 at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's B-O-B-A-N-D-C-H-E-Z, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
My view of this is simple. We don't need a federal Department of Education telling us our children have to learn Esperanto, they have to learn Eskimo poetry.
Eskimo poetry.
Let the states decide. Let the communities decide on health care, on education, on lower taxes, not higher taxes. Now, he's going to throw a big word at you, unfunded mandate. He's going to say if Washington lets the states do it, it's an unfunded mandate. But what he doesn't like is the federal government losing power. What I call it, the ingenuity of the American people.
President Bartlett, you have 60 seconds for a question and an answer.
Well, first of all, let's clear up a couple of things. Unfunded mandate is two words, not one big word. There are times when we're 50 states and there are times when we're one country and have national needs. And the way I know this is that Florida didn't fight Germany in World War II or establish civil rights. You think states should do the governing wall to wall. That's a perfectly valid opinion. But your state of Florida got $12.6 billion in federal money last year from Nebraskans and Virginians and New Yorkers and Alaskans with their Eskimo poetry. 12.6 out of a state budget of $50 billion. I'm supposed to be using this time for a question, so here it is. Can we have it back, please?
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Tuesday, February 9, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. I am Bob Seska. That is Chez Pazienza sitting right there.
Hey there.
Hi. We are brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. It's the best soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Captain Hollywood this weekend.
Absolutely. God bless Bo.
Head over to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez for free legal advice. Or if you can't remember that URL, just go to bobsuska.com.
And more than a few drinks.
You don't get free mojitos through thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob. Just for that, you got to meet up with Charles Bowen in Hollywood.
Bo's an awesome guy.
Hollywood Bo Bowen. All right. Got a gigantic show for you this week, or for our Tuesday show. I always say this week as if we're just doing one show a week, but I guess I got to break that habit since we've been doing it since June, like two shows a week since June. All right. I guess we'll start out with the big announcement that I've been promising on my Facebook page for some time now. And I feel like at this point, it's kind of going to be anticlimactic in terms of the hype on the Facebook.
Not, you know, thread. You're not like going to Sweden to transition.
That's right. I am returning to the Daily Bed.
Woo! Makes me happy.
So starting next Wednesday, the 17th, I'll be contributing articles again at the Daily Banter.
Which also, by the way, next Wednesday marks the start. It's funny because Bob's going to come back, and right off the bat, you're all going to be screwed as readers because we all have to navigate a learning curve because the Banter's interface and basically the whole site is going to change, and it's going to change for the better. I'm promoting the hell out of this because I genuinely believe it.
Yeah.
We're getting rid of WordPress. We're bringing in an entirely new platform. And it's the site looks cleaner, it looks nicer, but there's definitely going to be a couple of days there when none of us know how to post correctly.
Yeah. By the way, I should wheel this out again.
The Daily Banta.
I haven't played that in a while.
The Daily Banta.
Yeah, so the new site design looks really great.
Yeah, it does.
And so it's going to be kind of cool to be back there. It's almost like we're starting from scratch again in a way.
It looks good. We got a nice plug from Gawker today.
Yeah, I noticed that. It was pretty funny. I didn't quite, because I skimmed through it, I didn't quite grasp the point of that
post. It was just funny. I mean, I actually thought it was kind of clever. The idea that since Donald Trump called... He repeated a woman in the audience who called Ted Cruz a pussy.
Right, which we have that audio, by the way. So
yeah, the point of the Gawker piece was, how did different news outlets say that word?
Okay.
And so you've got like CBS News with, you know, a vulgar word for a woman's reproductive organ. And then, of course, you've got us, which Banter was just like, what? Yeah, he said what?
Right.
So,
and who wrote about that?
I honestly can't remember. Said what? I've been working on my own stuff today.
All right.
The Daily Banta.
All right. So, that's funny. Yeah, so go to Gawker to check that out. This is a funny post. But yeah, that's right. It's true that someone in the audience... Now, Trump is getting the blame for it, but all he did was repeated something that some woman in the audience said about Ted Cruz... being the P word, and then because of Ted Cruz's stance on torture... Like, now, like, the Republicans are getting in a pissing match about who's more gung-ho about torturing people.
Because that's what we've been talking about forever. Everything is being pulled further and further to the right.
That's right. Here's
now it's like, you know what, waterboarding, that's just like, didn't Trump's kids say, that's just like hazing.
Yeah,
that's
just like hazing.
You know what they really need to do? You know, pulling fingernails out.
That's right.
That's a really good, and you know what, even that, just pulling fingernails out, have you ever done that?
Yeah, it happens.
Sometimes you stub your toe, your nail comes off, it's not that big a deal.
It's like when you get a mani-pedi from the Korean women.
Right.
That's right, it's easy like that, isn't it? It's just like, I mean, when we were debating torture when it originally broke, the whole idea of waterboarding back during the Bush administration, the Republicans were all like, that's just like splashing a little water in your face. What's the problem? It's not. And then we saw actual people getting waterboarded and they hated it. It's the worst. It's simulated drowning is what it is. And Ted Cruz weirdly took a more moderate position than Donald Trump. And for that, one of Trump's supporters during a rally called him... You know, a P.
Right. Because this is where we are. This is what the Republican Party is now.
Exactly. So here's that clip from that Trump rally.
You heard the other night at debate, they asked Ted Cruz, serious question, well, what do you think of waterboarding? Is it okay? And honestly, I thought he'd say absolutely. And he didn't. He said, well, he's concerned about the answer because some people, she just said a terrible thing. You know what she said? Shout it out because I don't want to... Okay, you're not allowed to say, and I never expect to hear that from you again. She said, I never expect to hear that from you again. She said he's a pussy. That's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. Because it is terrible. Obviously, you can just tell his voice is just his voice is dripping with rejection.
I hate that. I really hate it when people call other people a pussy. That offends me, Donald Trump. Jesus. Well, there it is. That's another illustration of what we've been talking about all along, about the status of the Republican Party at this point. The fact that he's basically just, he's doing like a 1990s shock jock thing now.
That's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, I mean, and that's, it's, you know, in some ways it's kind of, if he weren't going out and appealing to the middle American idiots, there would be something wonderfully sort of like Howard Stern-like about this. Like Stern back in like, you know, the 80s and 90s.
Oh, God, yeah.
Back the last time Trump was a big deal. It's just everything about it is just vulgar, the short-fingered vulgarian.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. And then Ted Cruz responded, you know, in only the way he can. After being called a P-word by Donald Trump, Ted Cruz says he expects insults from Trump, but won't respond in kind. Quote, Donald doesn't handle losing very well, and his typical response is to engage in insults, and usually the insults are pretty crude and profane. He said, look, he's welcome to do that. I'm not going to insult Donald, Cruz said. I think the people of New Hampshire deserve better than someone just throwing mud and insulting other candidates. And my focus is going to be on record. Listen, there's a reason Donald Trump engages in profane insults, because he can't defend his own record. That's a lot of words to respond to something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was lumping Ted Cruz in with Donald Trump, maybe not necessarily, because Ted Cruz's response to this was very, very Jeb Bush-like.
Please clap.
Just wordy and, aw, why is he insult? What? Donald Trump sure does insult people.
Yeah, but that's the thing, and that's why he's going to lose, yeah. Because he's going to come back with the same thing that Jeb did. He's going to come back with some semblance of, you know, and I am not by any stretch of the imagination saying that Ted Cruz is reasonable, but he's going to come back with umbrage and reasonableness.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally.
It just doesn't work with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the congressional committee the other day trying to appeal to the humanity of Martin Shkreli.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Shkreli's a fucking bully.
That's right.
He's a little, he's a little twerp, but he's a bully. And all he does, the more you try to appeal to some sense of decency or humanity from him, the more he just mocks you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. And then the Republicans always respond, whether it's Jeb Bush or Ted Cruz, with the, I don't understand. Why is he making fun of me? All he does is insult people. It makes us sad. We are sad. Sad
so
Republicans.
Poison.
So poisoning. So sad. Let's all shed a tear for poor Ted Cruz. Speaking of Ted Cruz, Jesus. SNL. Okay, now I've spent a lot of time complaining about Saturday Night Live and the lack of solid political satire on that show.
Right.
They completely blew me out of the water Saturday night. Of course, the last half hour was a hunk of shit. There's no doubt about that. And it usually is. But for the first hour of that show, there was some of the best political satire I've seen on that show in many years. I mean, I can't necessarily quantify. I said on Facebook since the 80s, but maybe not necessarily. Maybe since the 90s, I would say. It was really great. And it was kind of shocking to see, because the cold open was a Ted Cruz sketch, when I was kind of expecting a Democratic debate sketch, since they had Larry David hosting. And instead they did a Ted Cruz sketch that had a joke in it that was so hilarious, and yet it was like risky and politically incorrect. And I was actually kind of shocked to see it on SNL, because I thought SNL is all about appealing to millennials, so they retreat to the safe, politically correct ground, the happy, fun, you know, inoffensive kind of material, which is what they've been doing for at least a few years now. And then this happened.
And now a message from Senator Ted Cruz.
Oh, hello. I was just reading my conscience, a bedtime story.
I mean, the voice is, you know what? The voice is not great. The impression is not great. But what he says is great.
Now, some of you may have already seen me in tonight's Republican debate in New Hampshire. And if you missed it, here's a quick recap. I won. I also won the Iowa caucus, thanks to endorsements from strong conservatives like Glenn Beck and God Almighty. Now, I'll admit, I'm an unconventional candidate. I'm not like other politicians. I didn't get where I am today because I was born wealthy, or handsome, or charismatic, or nice. I am not cool, or likable, or even fine. In other words, I have overcome perhaps the greatest political liability of all time.
This is so great.
Being Ted Cruz. Mine is a story of triumph over adversity, like FDR in his wheelchair. But instead of a wheelchair, it's my personality and face.
So he just compared his personality and face with having a disability.
To a handicap, yeah.
Jesus. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's the kind of stuff that SNL used to do. But as far as I can tell, they haven't done until Saturday night. And then they did. Bernie Sanders appeared. I thought Bernie Sanders was very funny on the show because he appeared as an immigrant, which was a really funny. And I thought he did pretty well. And that's why here's a little taste of Bernie Sanders on SNL the other night.
I am so sick of the 1% getting this preferential treatment.
This is a sketch where they're doing like women and children first getting on the lifeboats in a sinking ship. Right. Mm. It's old timey. It's supposed to be like turn of the century kind of crap with like immigrants and stuff like that. So Bernie Sanders appears after they're starting to put all the wealthy people on the lifeboats first.
Enough is enough. We need to unite and work together if we're all going to get through this.
Sounds like socialism to me.
Democratic socialism.
What's the difference?
Huge difference.
Huge?
Huge.
Huge with a Y, eh? Who are you?
I am Bernie Sanders Witsky. But we're gonna change it when we get to America so it doesn't sound quite so Jewish.
Yeah, that'll trick him.
All right, that was really good. That was a really great joke at the end there. And then, of course, Burn Your Enthusiasm. That was really funny, too. And that was evidently Larry David wrote that. And I always want to say, by the way, I always want to call him Larry Sanders now for some reason. Larry Sanders, the Gary Shandling character on the HBO show, also, and I'm not making this up, also the name of Bernie Sanders' brother. Oh. Bernie Sanders has a brother named Larry. Larry Sanders, which is insane to me. So I'm getting them all confused in my addled brain. So anyway, so that was really good. But hats off to SNL for actually doing real political satire for a change. Strange. Someone must have taken over the show. I tend to think it was Larry David. Like Larry David probably saying, no. Here's what we got to do this week.
Well, you know, Ted Cruz is such an easy target.
Yeah.
He really, what a monster. What a slimy used car salesman that son of a bitch is.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, like I said, I was disappointed in the impression itself, but I mean, at the end, I didn't care because that joke was so good.
The important thing, one of the things that SNL really fell back on that I think kind of sucks is that they started doing imitations instead of impressions.
Exactly.
They concentrated too much on trying to get the voice and the mannerisms exactly right, mm-hmm. instead of trying to get the core of what the person was. That's why they don't call it an imitation. They call it an impression.
Exactly.
You know, what was hilarious about Chevy Chase's version of Gerald Ford? It was nothing like him. Nothing.
Right.
It was just an accident-prone boob.
Exactly. And that's, to me, that's the difference between the Daryl Hammond era and the, let's say, the Phil Hartman / Dana Carvey era. Yeah. When they both did impressions, Carvey and Hartman both did impressions, and Daryl Hammond did imitations. Yeah. So, but we're going to, you know what? We've got a primary going on right now, which is happening as we speak. So when you hear this, you're already going to know the results. But as we're recording this, we do not know the results other than what's been predicted. So we're going to pretend we know, and we're going to get into it after we talk about this. Okie dokie, it's Harry's Razors. I'm not sure if we've talked about this on the show or not, but I'm a huge klutz. And so yesterday while I was shaving with my Harry's Razor, for whatever reason, I accidentally flung my razor across the bathroom, and it broke into three distinct pieces, but not random breakage. It simply just disassembled, and I was able to just snap all the three pieces back into place in less than like 2 seconds. But here's the important part. The razors were out of the box perfect. No dings or jagged edges, and my shave was just as smooth after I tossed the razor across the room as it was before. It's truly amazing that I can get Harry's razors for half the price of the leading brand, but twice the quality and durability. The Harry's Razor Starter Set is an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and three razor blades. The truly amazing thing is that I get a salon-quality shave with German-engineered 5-blade cartridges and a hefty chrome-plated handle that looks like it's from the future. Go to harrys.com and enter the promo code BANDC for $5 off your first Harry's shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or legs or your armpits with Harry's Razors. That's Harry's Talk.com.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yeah, welcome back to our Tuesday show. Thanks for joining us. Like I said, New Hampshire is happening right now, New Hampshire primary, and we have no idea who's going to win. But at this point, with 1% reporting, go figure. This is the result so far. It's got, let's see, according to the Talking Points memo, we're at 60% for Bernie Sanders, 32% for Hillary Clinton. Weirdly, in third place is someone named Mark Stewart Greenstein.
Okay.
At 7%. No one else appears to be registered. There's a bunch of other candidates listed here. John Adams, Steve Burke, someone named Rocky De La Fuente. I'm not making that up. That's an actual candidate on the New Hampshire ballot on the Democratic side.
Excellent.
Eric Elbow or Elbot, depending on how you want to pronounce that. Bill French, Henry Hughes, Brock Hutton, which, by the way, was my television newscaster name back in the 70s. That was Brock Hutton. Keith Judd and Lloyd Kelso are all the candidates on the Democratic side. On the Republican side, Ted Cruz and John Kasich and Donald Trump tied three ways right now. It's a three-way. It's a Kasich, Cruz, Trump three-way.
Wow, I can't think of anything more disgusting or disturbing.
By the way, coming up on the show in a little bit, we're going to talk about what Alex Jones had to say about Bernie Sanders supporters.
Oh, no.
It's a classic Alex Jones rant. And, of course, in there, he says the word
scum
a lot. He just freaks out. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So what we're going to do for the rest of the show is we're just going to pretend we know who won. And then you can just you can follow along once the primary is over. So we're just going to say that Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump both won. And if we're wrong, we're going to say, too bad.
Imagine how bad it will be if we are totally wrong.
Yeah. Well, when we do Tuesdays and Thursdays shows, and they do these primaries, everything seems to happen on Tuesdays now. So we could wait later in the day and actually do the show once there's a result. But that would mean cutting into our evenings, and we don't want to do that, right? Because we're just lazy that way.
No, I still got work to do. I have to keep writing tonight.
I have work to do, which means I have to sit on my couch and watch TV, and that's important. But honest to God, I think Bernie Sanders is easily going to win this, and Donald Trump, I think, is easily going to win this.
Bernie's going to win, and it's going to be the field of burn people.
Yeah,
and you'll hear more and more of that. And you are going to continue to hear that until March 1st.
Exactly. So, I mean, we might as well do this. Yep. By the way, we are going to talk about the GOP debate from the other night, which was really goddamn funny. Such a great illustration of how badly the Republicans are doing right now. But before that, we're going to talk about Bernie v. Hillary, dawn of losing the general election. Thank you. So, a few news stories that came out this week. Let's see. Let's start with the Madeleine Albright, Gloria Steinem controversy.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought Madeleine Albright made a mistake. I thought it was pretty harsh. I mean, because what Hillary Clinton seems to be doing right now is scolding millennials. Yeah. You know what? Leave that to us.
I mean, we do. Actually, you know what? That's a good point. Look, I am not pissed at Hillary in terms of I understand where I'm sure her frustration is coming from on this. Mm-hmm. Because you got to imagine that if we see this, there's no way she doesn't see it. She's the one who's actually suffering from this lunacy.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
but that's beating up on these idiot kids. That's our job.
Exactly. Yes, we make good living beating up on millennials occasionally. Now, and again, hashtag not all millennials. Not all millennials, of course not all millennials, but there's a certain kind of millennial that we like to tease. We also like to tease our own generation too, occasionally. So Madeleine Albright was speaking on the stump with Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire, and basically said, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Yeah, that's
just like, he's like, if you're a woman and you support Bernie Sanders, you're going to hell.
No, I think that's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, there's an argument to be made that, you know, if you're a feminist, then maybe you should support Hillary Clinton because her win would be historic. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
But yeah, to make it that blatant and just say, if you're a woman, you have to support Hillary Clinton, that's nonsense.
Meanwhile, Gloria Steinem appeared on Real Time with Bill Maher Friday night. First of all, I had no idea that Gloria Steinem was 81 years old.
That's frightening. She looks great.
She looks absolutely great. But she said something on that show that if Ches Pazienza said it on the pages of the Daily Banter, you would get your ass handed to you.
Yeah.
She basically said, therefore, Bernie, speaking of young female millennials, they're for Bernie because that's where the boys are. And I mean, that was just one of those things that I think if, like, for example, if Bill Maher had said it, that'd be it.
Well, you got to remember, she is 81.
She is 81.
Maybe she looks great, but yeah. We don't know what could be going on in there.
But again, I mean, to me, this is, I started to think back to 2008. And I started to think back to some of the stuff that the Clintons tried to pull in 2008 when they felt like they were losing. I'm talking about both Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton.
I remember very well.
Because Bill Clinton has started in this week himself now. But what they're doing is, like I said, it's a bad idea because what they're doing is they're scolding millennials. And that's,
I agree. And they need to stop. Again, leave that to surrogates. Leave that to other people, or, and you know what? Don't do anything. Just shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Wait until Super Tuesday. If you're still in trouble after Super Tuesday, then you can go ahead and put up a fight.
Yeah. See, now it doesn't help when here we are on the show on Thursday talking about how Bernie Sanders was kind of starting down the path of labeling people in a pejorative way. Like, if you're a moderate, you're kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
Or if you're establishment, you're not one of us.
Yep. You know, you're not one of us, and yeah, that's been his whole shtick.
Yeah, but then, I mean, we scold that, and then we turn around, and here's Hillary Clinton scolding millennials for not supporting her, also a bad idea. But what it is it's factionalizing the Democratic Party, and while, yes, in 2008, there was a healing that took place, once there was a nominee, once Barack Obama was the presumptive nominee, everything sort of got sewed back up together. It could happen the exact same way this year. I mean, I could be just alarmist about the whole thing, but to me, the internet has this echo chamber quality about it, especially now with the prevalence of social media being much stronger than it was 8 years ago.
Absolutely.
Facebook much stronger, Twitter much stronger, the blogs much stronger. And so what happens is, I think there's less of a chance of that healing taking place this year.
Especially, I agree completely.
Yeah, and especially because the candidates themselves are defining these factions on the left that shouldn't be occurring. I mean, I always thought, and we've talked about this going into the primary season, with the Republicans acting like a bunch of clowns, it's so important for the Democrats to remain cohesive, to remain the adults in the room, to not self-defeat. And I have a feeling that this factionalizing by, you know, just it's us versus them, and we're all us. But us versus them makes it into the thing. And, you know, it's okay for people like Ches and I to do that because that's what we do. We're all about sort of evaluating who's doing what and who's saying what and expressing our opinions. But when you're the leaders of the party, and ostensibly, Barack Obama aside, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are now the de facto leaders of the Democratic Party, and they need to set an example for their supporters who are now just parroting all of this divisive crap that's going on. And it's not helping. On top of the fact that it's not helping pull some of those voters over to one side or the other. It's actually repelling them. I mean, I don't know any millennial that's going, you know what? There might be a special place in hell for me. I better go vote for Hillary.
No, you know? it's a terrible idea.
Or, you know, I have moderate tendencies. I don't want to be like Hillary, so I better go vote for Bernie. I don't think anyone's voting out of
out of guilt brought on by one of the two candidates. Yeah. It's just not happening. It doesn't happen that way. So, I have a feeling that unless we get some sort of nominee, it's only going to get worse. Fortunately, I still believe that we have a very strong possibility of having our nominee at the end of the day on March 1st.
I think that at the very latest, you're going to have a nominee on March 16th.
March 16th, yeah.
I think that this is all of this big ride, and this is what I tell people who, you know, the Bernie bots or whatever the hell you want to call them, whatever pejorative you want to come up with, because they are a very real phenomenon where, you know, you say anything at all positive about Hillary Clinton or anything negative about Bernie Sanders, even if you just prevent facts and math, they lose their minds. I genuinely believe that, you know, all those people that I've talked to, and God knows I've talked to enough because they've come after me in the past couple weeks, is, you know what, at this point I'm like, just talk to me on March 16th.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see where the chips have fallen on March 16th.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking more along the lines of Super Tuesday, which is March 1st. But I mean,
I think Super Tuesday is going to be, I think that it could all come down to that. But I don't think it's going any later than March 16th.
Well, the election schedule is insane in March. I mean, everything's going to go down in March because there are, in some cases, two different elections in the same week. Right. So we're like right now in February, they're kind of spread apart by at least a week, or in some cases it's going to be after New Hampshire, it's going to be 11 days before we have another one. It's going to be Nevada and South Carolina, Nevada for the Democrats, South Carolina for the Republicans. But, you know, there's going to be an election on March 1st. That's Super Tuesday. Something like 15 different states, including, American Samoa is in there, too. Then on March 5th, there's another vote. Then on March 6th, there's another vote. March 8th, there's another vote. March 12th, 15th, 19th, 22nd, 26th. That's basically an entire month of one nonstop primary from beginning to end, from wall to wall in March. So we're going to know. We're going to know before March is done. Now, what's really going to matter is the amount of damage that takes place in that process.
Sure.
Because it's going to be super heated. I mean, we've got 15 votes on March 1st, another five on the 5th. Let's see, the next biggest one is six different elections on March 15th. I don't think anything else quite tops that. But, you know, it's basically going to be nonstop, and it's going to be infuriating and confusing.
A lot of it is going to be concentrated in the South and the West.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, this, and I don't think you're going to – I'm genuinely – first of all, if you look at the polls, the polls have gotten a tiny bit closer, but for the most part, they've held up. State by state, they've held up. And if they continue to, then that's it.
Yep.
Hillary Clinton will walk away with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
and how many times do I have to say this? I'm not even saying that, hey, you know what? That's exactly what I want. You know, but that is a fact. That's not an opinion.
Oh, yeah.
If the polls hold with the way that they are now, if they don't change, Bernie Sanders loses.
That's
period.
Right. And, you know, there is a strong possibility that a lot of people are talking about the idea that there are first-time voters who will come out for Bernie Sanders because they finally have a candidate. I think they were talking about this on Bill Maher. They finally have a candidate on the Democratic side who responds to them, who is reflective of their progressive values, when in previous elections there was no representative candidate to do that, and Bernie Sanders will draw them out. I don't know. I tend to lean more toward precedent and history on these things, and
so do I.
And of course Nate Silver. So I'm not really banking on some sort of mysterious voting block emerging at the last minute to hand enough delegates to Bernie Sanders. It just doesn't seem to make sense to me. But moving forward, it's pretty clear right now what's going to happen after New Hampshire, which Bernie Sanders is going to win. There's the Nevada caucus, lots of more caucuses than I thought. The primary calendar is loaded with caucuses. So the Nevada caucus takes place on February 20th. that is going to be probably, you know, a Clinton victory. She's leading by as much as 29 points. Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back. As much as 46 points, according to various polls. The polling average, according to Nate Silver, is 50 to 28 in Clinton's favor. So moving along to South Carolina, the polling split is 60 Clinton, 29 Sanders. Then you move on to, let's see, what's the next one after that? Michigan? Oh, no, wait. Is it Michigan? No, South Carolina. There are two Republican primaries. Okay, then Michigan is, 59.9 Clinton, 29% Sanders. So you can see what I'm getting at here. It's going to be a difficult rest of February and most of March for Bernie Sanders supporters. But again, I can't possibly overlook, in fairness, what the positive aspect has been of Bernie Sanders running, which is that I love the idea that during that debate last week, there was a discussion as to who was the more progressive candidate. And I think that is only positive. That's a very positive thing for moving the Overton window back to the left. Back and to the left is not what I meant to say, but that's how it came out. Anyway, so, and that's something that's relatively new for the Democratic Party. Usually in the primaries, it was sort of a race to see who could be more centrist, more moderate. And that's fine. But the Republicans have been working for 45 years, maybe actually closer to 50 years. In fact, I would say probably let's call it an even 52 years since the 1964 election when Barry Goldwater got his ass handed to him. Yeah. It's been a long road for those guys. And now, finally, I feel like the Overton window is swinging back. The pendulum is moving back to the left. And I think that it's Bernie Sanders who deserves a good portion of the credit for that. Now, if you're going to start crabbing about Hillary Clinton taking on progressive positions, you're not getting it, because that's the idea. She's right. Supposed to do that. That's the whole point of the Bernie Sanders candidacy. Apart from, you know, the political revolution and all that, the original idea, the concept behind Bernie Sanders getting into the race was to pull the party to the left and to make it okay for people like Hillary Clinton to talk about single payer or breaking up the banks or reinstating Glass-Steagall, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when Bernie Sanders supporters say, well, all she's doing is suddenly she's trying to be like Bernie Sanders, you're missing the point, because she's supposed to do that. So we'll see. We'll see how this all plays out and see how Hillary Clinton sticks with these positions, these primary positions, during the general election if she gets the nomination. And I don't see any reason why she wouldn't get the nomination.
Right.
And by the way, I'll see you in the comments after I say that.
Sure. Of course. Of course. Absolutely. Right. Because again, you basically just quoted a bunch of polls.
Yeah.
Here's the polling. Here's what Nate Silver's 538 is saying, and 538 is notoriously correct in its predictions.
Right.
So incredibly accurate. And they're saying right now Clinton's ahead by a wide, wide margin.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what?
So saying that if that holds, that means Bernie's out is it's not. You're not slamming Bernie.
No.
You're presenting reality. But I think if there's one thing that I've learned after dealing with Bernie Sanders acolytes quite a bit over the past couple weeks is that reality is something they are absolutely averse to.
Well, the other thing to watch for, too, and this is specific to tonight's primary, is that if Hillary Clinton comes within 10 points of Bernie Sanders, I hate to say it, but the television press especially is going to kind of lean toward it being a Hillary Clinton victory. I mean, not a substantive victory, not a victory in terms of delegates, but a victory in terms of coming from behind and defying the odds. And meanwhile, the Hillary Clinton people have been playing the game of expectations and downplaying their chances. Yeah. So now that primary night is here, if Hillary Clinton is, I would say within 15 points, 10 to 15 points in that range behind Bernie Sanders, they're going to say, Hillary Clinton's going to do it. I think that's going to end up becoming the conventional wisdom out of it, because already we know that Bernie Sanders is going to win. It's just going to win by how much.
Right.
That's fair. If it's not as much as the polls are showing, then that's definitely good news for Hillary Clinton. So we're going to talk about the disastrous GOP debate, and we're going to talk about Alex Jones coming up right after this one last break. Back after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, thanks for joining us today. What the hell happened at the GOP debate? What was it, Saturday night? I guess it was just...
They all run together now at this point for me.
So...
I know that there was the most brilliant bit of physical comedy I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was amazing. They're all being introduced out to the...
Ben Carson is just a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I mean...
He really is.
I don't know what the hell happened. He just walked out halfway.
And then stopped.
Cupped his hands in front of him and grinned, and then just froze in place. I mean, didn't he see that each person was being called individually, one by one, out to their podium? And then it got worse.
I'm just going to take a nap. I'm just going to stand here and take a little. My eyes aren't closed, but honestly, I'm taking a nap right now.
I'm Ambien sleepwalking.
Exactly. That's what he was doing.
I'm not exactly sure where I am.
Don't wake me.
But watch, when Donald Trump comes by, I'm going to make him Ambien sleepwalk too. You just watch. Oh, here he comes. Oh, hi, Donald. You're going to go to sleep now. And then
Trump stops right next to him. So he's standing there. And then Jeb Bush comes out, pats Trump on the shoulder, keeps on going on by. Marco Rubio goes on by. And the two of them are just standing there as if like to go...
Like idiots.
Yeah. Like they didn't even look confused. They just looked like they were supposed to stand there. They were just completely clueless as to what's supposed to happen. And all it was a matter of doing is, we're going to walk out onto stage and stand there.
Yeah. These are the people running for the highest office in the world.
I know. And they couldn't deal with the choreography. I mean,
couldn't figure that out.
They couldn't deal with the choreography of walking onto a stage and standing at a podium, which they have done 3,000 times so far in the last 6 months. How many times have they done this? And their names are called one by one. They walk out.
Right.
The only thing I think of is there wasn't any monitor.
Well, they mentioned
in that
something.
Area.
I think I heard something about that they couldn't hear the sound in the back.
That's what I mean.
I find that amazingly hard to believe.
And at the very least, they should have sent a PA out there. Now, that was one of the funniest things is when the production assistant looks around the corner with his headset and tries to shoo Ben Carson onto the stage.
Go on, it's your turn. Go on,
get out there. And he's like, there's voices in my head, and they're telling me to walk, but I don't want to walk. I'm standing here seeing vapor trails.
You know what I'm doing? I'm just admiring. I'm admiring the pattern on the rug. Got the moon coming through the window.
God, that hadn't occurred to me. He was absolutely doing the Jeff Bridges sleep tape.
Look at the pattern on the carpet. Look outside, the moon and the stars.
Maybe I should just pee right here.
Now, that would have been great if Ben Carson had just unzipped his pants and took a piss right there.
Oh, my God. I could totally see that.
He was so close to doing it. And then Trump comes out, and then Trump starts peeing, too. Not to be outdone, Trump would then have to whip his dick out and start peeing.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that was a big mess.
And Trump's dick would have to be bigger. It's a big, beautiful dick.
Yeah, that's right. Or he would step closer to the camera, so it would appear bigger.
Yes. Notice that it's a big, I mean, I have the best dick. I have the best. It's a big, beautiful dick.
There will be so much peeing in my administration, you'll grow tired of peeing.
Did you see Patton Oswalt tweeted the debate again? And he did the same thing he did last time where he did like fake closing statements. And for Trump's was, and I'm gonna try to quote here because I read it so many times and couldn't stop laughing. Mm-hmm. Trump's was, "You can't spell America without fuck you. We're gonna win so hard that you'll come. I'll come. Let's come."
Oh my God, no, I missed that. That's awesome.
Oh, hell yes.
Holy crap. And then the worst thing was, well, I mean, I don't think it was worse, but I think it was up there. Marco Rubio just went into autopilot mode and ended up saying the same thing three times in a row, prompting Chris Christie to do the, oh, there you go again kind of thing.
And let's dispel once and for all with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. Barack Obama is undertaking a systematic effort to change this country, to make America more like the rest of the world. That's why he passed Obamacare and the stimulus and Dodd-Frank and a deal with Iran.
And that's why we should vote against Barack Obama.
Exactly.
What the hell?
Exactly. It's Jesus. It's not even that he's done it. It's he's doing it.
He's doing it now, right? So for the next 10 months, he's going to try to transform America.
We better stop him.
We better kick his butt out of the White House. Whatever.
It's a systematic effort to change America. When I'm president of the United States, we are going to re-embrace all the things that made America the greatest nation in the world, and we are going to leave our children what they deserve.
An absolute great hatred of black people.
And Mexicans.
Yes.
Greatest nation in the history of the world.
Senator Rubio, thank you.
Yes, black and a dislike for Negroes.
Right.
But I would add this. Let's dispel with this fiction that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing.
By the way, I didn't start playing this over again. He's saying the same thing a second time.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He is trying to change this country. He wants America to become more like the rest of the world.
Wow.
We don't want to be like the rest of the world. We want to be the United States of America. And when I'm elected president, this will become, once again, the single greatest nation in the history of the world.
You see, everybody, I want the people at home to...
And now here's Chris Christie to give him, just completely tear him down. Like reducing him to his basic human existence right on stage.
Think about this. That's what Washington, D.C. does. The drive-by shot at the beginning with incorrect and incomplete information, and then the memorized 25-second speech that is exactly what his advisors gave him.
Chris Christie's little camel toe turned into a not-so-little camel toe in this exact moment.
Jesus.
See, Marco, the thing is this. When you're president of the United States, when you're a governor of a state, the memorized 30-second speech where you talk about how great America is at the end of it doesn't solve one problem for one person.
Okay, here we go.
See, those are the facts. Here's the bottom line. This notion that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing is just not
there
true.
There it is.
And here's, yeah, that is, the Christie's
wow,
is
that's
there
amazing.
It is.
This notion that Barack Obama doesn't know what he's doing is just not
there
true.
There it is.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
There it is, the memorized 25-second speech.
Wow, that's incredible.
Unbelievable.
By the way, you know what, though? Removing the fact that Rubio's an idiot who's on autopilot, the speech that he's giving there, that's a winner with conservatives.
Oh, yeah.
Conservatives and even a lot of centrists who believe that America should never, ever be like any country except America.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that were Bernie Sanders to actually get the nomination, they would hit him with that over and over.
Oh, yeah.
That he has come out and said, I want to turn this country into the Scandinavian countries.
Exactly.
What's the matter with that?
Yeah.
They will fucking level him with that.
Oh, my God, yes. So, speaking of Bernie Sanders, Alex Jones went off today on Bernie Sanders, and it was a classic Alex Jones rant. I mean, just everything, every bit of Alex Jones was put into this thing. All of his references, all of his usual crap. Let's take a little sip of this before we wrap up the show.
Bernie wants us to live under the heavenly socialist communist system like China.
And this is exactly what the Republicans are going to do to him, by the way. This exact attack. This is Alex Jones. Alex Jones is basically going to write the script for the Republicans.
You never hear the left criticize that Mao Zedong killed over 80 million people. The Chinese government admits biggest mass murder in history. That's why there's so many liberal, trendy places in Austin, in Denver, in New York, in L.A., in San Francisco named after Mao. And people go and love play on their iPhones and the free market and their Chinese.
Wait, are there places named after Mao? I'm not aware of any place that's named after Mao. Chairman Mao. Is there? Maybe it's ironic. That's if there is one.
It would be like an ironic like thing.
Yeah.
Slave goods, and they drink beer and expensive wine and giggle about how fun it is to wear red stars. You couldn't put more bad luck on you. You couldn't trash your mojo better. Wearing swastika armbands, you stupid snot-nosed crud.
God, I hate him so much.
You stupid snot-nosed crud.
I hate him.
Yeah.
That voice just makes me want to punch him so fucking hard.
Once again, conflating communist China with fascist Germany. Somehow.
Like, they're out there, they're going to all their nightclubs named after Mao, wearing their swastika armbands.
Yeah, that's right. I'm seeing lots of Bernie Sanders supporters walking around with swastika armbands, you know, in support of the 74-year-old Jew.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Walking around goose-stepping like all the Nazis in Nazi Germany.
Just like Bernie Sanders did.
Just like Bernie Sanders, Nazi. Bernie Sanders, Hitler lover.
Jesus.
Live off the backs of everybody that fought Nazism and communism. You need to have your jaws broken.
Oh my God.
Moron.
Yeah, you Bernie Sanders supporters with your Nazi armbands, you're going to have your jaws broken. Yeah, okay, sure.
Don't you worry, reality's going to crash in on you, trash, who lowered our defenses, who brought the Republic down. Oh, we're already gone. And you celebrate it like you've joined the globalist, mounting America's head on the wall. Your great victory.
What is he talking about? Oh, I guess he's talking about Iowa. Bernie Sanders won Iowa, and he's treating it like the end of the world.
Because everything is the end of the world for this clown. It's all the end of the world.
That's the
whole thing. His entire shtick is this apocalyptic crap, this nonsense that he keeps talking about how the world is coming to an end and FEMA camps. And you know what? And none of it's happened. None of it has happened.
Nazi Bernie Sanders wins Iowa. Next thing you know, apocalypse.
Well, okay, whatever you
when
say.
When you're building your bars, where you're drinking your IPAs, and you name the bar after Heinrich Himmler. Yeah, because I've been to places like that.
Right here in downtown Austin, there's a Joseph Goebbels drinking hole.
Like, oh, really? Okay, sure. Joseph Goebbels drinking hole.
Like, you magnificent bastard. You can order that. That's my favorite drink there. Go in there. You're magnificent. That's my favorite Nazi drink inside the Nazi watering hole in Austin, Texas. Scum. Mass rape of women across Europe. The national draft coming in for women. The families falling apart. Women degraded into nothing but sexual objects.
Jesus Christ.
Dude, I have headphones in right now.
There's one salient part that I want to get to before we wrap up here. It's coming up any second now.
Steinem and the Central Intelligence Agency program. And a Bernie Sanders with his fake Einstein hair and his, I'm a man of the people.
God, terrible.
We go out and talk to Bernie Sanders supporters. They can hardly talk.
Okay, that's it. That's it. That's right. I just wanted to get to that. Bernie Sanders supporters can hardly talk, as opposed to Alex Jones supporters who say crap like this.
Okay, well, you know, the thing is just important to war at all. Don't say, yeah, well, he's the blame. No, stop, okay? Stop. And second of all,
A ground and pound beast mode monster in your face, one ass kicking maniac.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, dude, you're right. The setup for that joke was just horrific, but the joke itself was wonderful. The punchline was fantastic.
Yes, Bernie Sanders supporters, they talk nothing but gibberish, but Alex Jones fans, they're just all over the intelligence.
Okay, right? Well, you know, the thing is, you support no war at all. Don't say, yeah, well, he's dead to blame. No. Stop, okay? Stop in the second of all.
Yeah, that was completely coherent.
The Daily Banter.
Right.
Oh, good Lord.
You people are sick.
Yes.
What a horrid, horrid creature he is.
He really is. Just a terrible, terrible human being. But boy, is he funny. Every time I see... every time Alex Jones goes off like that... Honest to God, I know you're repulsed by it, but I just... It's like the funniest thing in the world to me. It's like it's watching... Awesome.
It would just be better if people didn't actually give him any credence whatsoever.
I know.
That's the thing that scares the piss out of me. I mean, it's idiots like him that created this lunacy over Jade Helm, where you had 200 dumb rednecks gathering in some little town in Texas to basically just pepper some poor guy who works for the United States Army with all of these questions about how, well, when are you going to start taking over the state?
Yeah.
When's the government takeover going to begin? And it's just like the poor guy, he can't say, "Excuse me, doofus. The government already has taken over Texas."
That's right. To me, it's like, you know, it's like I was flipping through the channel Sunday night, and I stumbled upon America's Funniest Home Videos, which my slogan for that one is still going. And there was like a couple of rednecks with pantyhose on their head, and at the end of the pantyhose they had like tennis balls, and so they were swinging their heads around, and it was swinging the tennis balls and the pantyhose around, and they were like fighting each other, and of course they both got thwacked in the nuts. To me, Alex Jones is like those guys swinging pantyhose around on their heads with tennis balls in them, thwacking each other in the nuts.
So it's basically, it's like Ow My Balls.
It's like Ow My Balls. Exactly right. All right. We've got a post-mortem show coming up here. You can sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez or click the link on the podcast page and support the show. And you get all kinds of good stuff for free if you do that. We'll see you on the post-mortem show. Bye-bye.
On the way to the toilet, you're noticing the patterns on the rug. It can be a good experience. Anyway,